Thank you, Amos. Children's church time. For those that are left, why don't you turn over to Mark 14? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for your words that you have recorded for us to know you, to know you better, to know who you are. Guide us, lead us as we look into them this morning. Amen. So we're in Mark chapter 14, and if you've been with us for the last few weeks, we've been making our way through. Jesus is now hours from hanging on the cross. We've had a lot of suffering and death in our church lately, and Jesus knows what suffering's about. He knows what death is about. He knows his own death is coming. So just before, he's in the upper room with his disciples. He's washed their feet. He's talked to them. He's taught them. He's shared this Passover supper with them. This is late at night. They go out to the garden. And if you were here last week, Jeff talked about how Jesus was wrestling in the garden. He's wrestling in prayer with the Father. And he says, verse 36 of Mark 14, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you. Yet not what I will, but what you will. Jesus wrestles, is there any other way? No, there is not. I must drink this cup. I must take on the sins of the world, the wrath of God. And he comes out of the garden, and he's been sweating and wrestling with the Lord. And he comes out of there. His heart is resolute. Yes, this is the plan. I'm going to the cross. There's no turning back. That's where we get to pick up the story today. And if I'd wrap up the story today in one sentence, it would be fulfilling Scripture, Jesus submits to being betrayed, arrested, and abandoned. I've got 3 points today. First of all, verse 43 to 45 is betrayed. 46 to 50 is arrested. And 51 to 52 is abandoned. Betrayed, arrested, abandoned. Some of you might be thinking, they aren't all the same letter. Could you not find all the same letter? Well, and maybe I'm too clever, and Joyce thinks I'm corny, but it actually spells a word. B-A-A. Bah. Even though Joyce is rolling her eyes, it's okay. I'm hoping that will help you remember this passage. Jesus was betrayed, arrested, and abandoned. And we, like the sheep here, like the disciples here, what happens when the shepherd gets struck? They scatter. They abandon. So please stand as I read Mark 14, starting in verse 43. Follow along. Mark 14, 43. Immediately while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, came up accompanied by a crowd with swords and clubs, who were from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. Now he who was betraying him had given them a signal saying, whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him and lead him away under guard. After coming, Judas immediately went to him, saying, Rabbi, and kissed him. They laid hands on him and seized him. But one of those who stood by drew his sword and struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus said to them, have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as you would against a robber? Every day I was with you in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But this has taken place to fulfill the scriptures. and they all left him and fled. A young man was following him, wearing nothing but a linen sheet over his naked body, and they seized him. But he pulled free of the linen sheet and escaped naked. You can have a seat. So the first point here is that Jesus was betrayed. Look at verse 43. Immediately, while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12. First of all, we see that word immediately. Some of your translations might be slightly different. But you see it again in verse 45. And this was throughout Mark. Immediately this, immediately that. This happened so quickly. And if the disciples are there, they're in the garden, they were praying, they were falling asleep. But immediately, as they're getting up from praying, Judas is coming with this detachment of soldiers. Immediately. So to them it was happening so quick and it was immediate. And yet, if we read the scriptures, we know this has been the plan, not for a minute or a month or 100 years, but from the beginning, before the creation of the world, this was the plan. Jesus would be arrested, abandoned, crucified on a cross. If you look at verse 41, just before, and he came the third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners." Jesus knew he was about to be betrayed. And he says, "Get up. Let's be going. Behold, the one who arrests me at hand." Jesus does not try to run away, get away, make some kind of anything. He is going straight to being betrayed. This is the plan. Who do we meet but Judas? It says Judas, one of the 12. In fact, all four gospel writers mention Judas, one of the 12. As if, really? One of the 12? One of Jesus' closest 12 guys? He is going to betray him? Just earlier, this is hours before, Judas would have been with the 12. They're in the upper room with Jesus. What had Jesus done? He had washed their feet. He had dipped his bread in the bowl with Judas. So Judas is coming here with clean feet, with bread in his stomach from Jesus. Jesus has shown him love just before, and the last 3 years, following him all around, teaching Judas, loving Jesus, Judas. And yet Judas, we don't see it here, but what's he been up to the last couple hours? He left as they were having Passover. He leaves. And while they've been praying, he's obviously gone to the chief priests and the leaders, which beforehand he had agreed he betrayed Jesus for this 30 pieces of silver. Now is the time. We read in John, Amos read it. He knew this is where they would often meet, in this garden. The leaders didn't want to arrest him at Passover, but he came to them. This was the time. It's dark. There's hardly going to be anyone there. There probably won't be a riot. So he comes. Who does it say in verse 43? Accompanied by a crowd with swords and clubs, who are from the chief priests, scribes, and the elders. Some of the other gospels tell us it's a detachment of Roman soldiers. The temple guard is there. We see the servant of the high priest. There's a crowd here. They have clubs, they have swords, they have lanterns, they have torches, and they're coming in the night. Imagine those torches coming in the night down to this garden in the dark, coming to arrest Jesus. Judas has a plan. He's thought this through. Look at verse 44. Now the one who is betraying him had given them a signal saying, so this is Judas, "Whoever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him, lead him away under guard." So if it's dark, if it's night, Jesus, he looks like anyone else. He dresses like anyone else. How are they going to find him? Well, Judas goes to this place. He goes up to Jesus. He kisses Jesus. And he says, when I do that, seize him and take him away under guard. Jesus calls him Rabbi. Look at verse 45. Rabbi, this is, it means master. It's a title used for Jews to address and honor their teachers. So it's just dripping with hypocrisy and betrayal. Rabbi. And he kisses him. Kisses him probably on the cheek. Doesn't say. Maybe it's on the lips. I don't know what their customs were. Maybe it was on the hand. Maybe it was on the garment. But he kisses him. It's a loving, kind thing. He calls him Rabbi. This is betrayal. David wrote about betrayal in the Psalms. Let's look at a couple quick Psalms. Psalms 41, Duane had read it. Psalm 41. So this is like 1,000 years before Jesus was around. Psalm 41, 9. Even my close friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. Psalm 55, 12. This is again David, Psalm 55, 12. For it is not an enemy who reproaches me, then I could bear it. Nor does one who hates me who has exalted himself against me, then I could hide myself from him. But it is you, a man, my equal, my companion and my familiar friend. We who had sweet fellowship together, walked in the house of God in the throng. David's saying, it's one thing if it was his enemy who was coming against him, but this is his close friend. This is what Jesus, of course his enemies are against him. He's going to expect that, but one of his closest has betrayed him. Betrayal is always painful, especially if it's someone close, especially if they come to you pretending to be your friend, saying, Rabbi, especially if they kiss you, this warm embrace. Yet, what's Jesus' reaction? Does Jesus yell at him and get away from me, you fake, you fraud, whatever he could have said? No. Matthew tells us he calls him his friend here. Friend, do what you came to do. Jesus has been teaching, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. And what does he demonstrate? Exactly that. His own friend is betraying him with a kiss. And he shows kindness and love to him. This huge group of soldiers is coming after him. Judas has recruited them to come and arrest him. Jesus was betrayed. How about you? Have you ever been betrayed by a close friend? How did it feel? Jesus knows. He knows betrayal. Hebrews 4, the end of there, tells us, we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize in our weakness. Jesus knows what it feels like to be betrayed. We don't hear of Judas after this in the book of Mark. We don't hear from him again. This is the last thing we hear. We do know from the other Gospels, he goes away in remorse. He takes that 30 pieces of silver and he tries to give it back to the leaders and they don't want it. He throws it into the temple. And he goes away and he hangs himself after he betrays the Son of God. So the first thing that happens here is betrayal. Secondly, he gets arrested. Verse 46. They laid hands on him and seized him. But one of those who stood by drew his sword and struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus said to them, "Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as you would seize a robber? Every day I was with you in the temple teaching, you did not seize me. But this has taken place to fulfill the scriptures." So Jesus is arrested. Imagine Jesus. He is God Almighty, all-powerful. He's always been, he always will be. These people who are arresting him, he's made them. He's created them out of the dust. What humility to allow them to seize him and arrest him and to walk him away. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If you can imagine the... Who's a big, strong guy here at church? Who's the biggest, strongest guy, do you think? Jeff. Yeah, Jeff's pretty strong. Imagine, you know, in the church, there's a bunch of these little black and red bugs. Maybe you have them in your house, too. They come in the fall time where there's lots of sun. Imagine if, like, 500 of those little bugs... A group, they said, "Oh, let's go and arrest Jeff and bind him up. They're going to gather together." Well, Jeff would probably just stomp him out. It's a bit like this, and yet Jesus is far more powerful and far more mighty, and yet his creation is going to bind him, seize him, and take him away. The humility of Jesus to just go with it. But we know he's wrestled with the Father. Yes, this is the plan. So when they come to arrest him, okay, let's do it. What love, what grace, what mercy that he would allow himself to be seized and arrested. Now Peter, always one of our favorites, what's his reaction? Verse 47, but one of those who stood by, he doesn't get named here, but John calls him out in his gospel. He drew his sword and struck the slave of the high priest, cutting off his ear. So Peter, he's ready to go. Jesus is right beside him. He had just said, "Everyone else might fall away. I'll never fall away." He grabs his sword and he starts swinging. I kind of doubt he was aiming right for the ear. He's probably going for the head. But he cuts his ear off. We read in the other gospel that Jesus says, "No, you live by the sword, you die by the sword. Put that away, Peter." In fact, Jesus heals that guy's ear. What mercy of God here. Even Peter, what if he would have killed that guy? He could have been arrested for murder. That could have been the end of his life, his ministry. And Jesus is showing this is not the way to spread the gospel. I'm going to be leaving, guys. And even in all this, I think he's trying to teach. You don't spread the gospel by killing people. No, that's not the way. Jesus points out, "You guys, you could have arrested me any time. I have been in the public. I've been teaching at the temple every day. Am I some kind of thief, a terrorist? No. I'm just preaching the temple every day. And yet you come at night with a huge group with swords and clubs. Why would you choose this night?" And yet we know why. Well, in fact, not really they've chosen it. God's chosen it. Because what does Jesus say? Verse 49. "Every day I was with you in the temple teaching, you did not seize me, but this has taken place." Why? To fulfill the scriptures. This has been part of the plan. All along, Jesus was going to go to the cross. And to get there, he's going to be betrayed. He's going to be arrested. Which scriptures? Well, there's tons of scriptures that show this. Let's go to Isaiah 53. It's probably the most obvious to me. Think of this as written hundreds of years before. Isaiah chapter 53. Let's start at verse 3. Isaiah 53:3. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, like one from whom men hide their face. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastising for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned in his own way. But the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Verse 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shears, he did not open his mouth. If you picture a lamb heading to the slaughter, this is Jesus right now. He's been seized. He's arrested. He's got a guard, and he's headed for the slaughter, an innocent lamb. And yet, not unlike the lamb is powerless, Christ is all powerful. And yet he submits to being arrested. Let us marvel at Jesus together. Almighty God being arrested and bound and walked off by his creation. Willing to be arrested like a criminal. Willing to give up his rights, his life, to save us. How about you? What are you willing to give up for your Savior? What are you willing to endure for what is right? Jesus knew this was the right thing to do. He needed to do it. He's willing to be arrested, walked away like a lamb to the slaughter. So Jesus is betrayed. He's arrested. Now he's going to be abandoned by everybody. Look at verse 50. And they all left him and fled. A young man was following him, wearing nothing but a linen sheet over his naked body, and they seized him, but he pulled free of the linen sheet and escaped naked. They all left him. Everybody. Everyone deserted him. Well, his enemies stayed around, but all his friends, all his allies, all his disciples, even some random young guy, everybody left him. Jesus was all alone. Now, we read in some of the other Gospels, this was part of the plan, that he was going to be alone. He says, no, this is on me. Leave my disciples out of this. But they all leave. When it comes down to it, everyone is scared and abandons him. Just as Jesus had said, look just a little bit earlier, chapter 14, verse 27 in Mark. Jesus had said to them, you will all fall away because it is written, I will strike down the shepherd and the sheep shall be scattered. What happens if sheep are out there even now? Something happens to the shepherd, what do the sheep do? They scatter. That's what happens here. Not one friend stuck around. Jesus has truly been rejected by men. We meet this young man, and you might be thinking, who is this young guy? This isn't recorded in any of the other Gospels. Just Mark records it. Possibly it is Mark, the guy who writes the Gospel. He's maybe putting himself in. We don't know. That's my best guess, but it doesn't say. Perhaps he hurries out of bed because he hears this commotion, and Jesus, so he just has this linen sheet. He gets grabbed, but he'd rather take off naked than be grabbed and gone along with Jesus because he's going to be in some kind of trouble. But this is human nature, isn't it? We look out for ourselves. We have this self-preservation. We go with the crowd. We're scared. I heard a story of some Grunthal boys once near on St. Pierre Road. It was the winter. They had some snowballs, and as it was night, and as the cars were going by, they would throw them and try to hit the cars. And then these boys, one time they hit a car, and all of a sudden the brake lights went on. They quickly ran into the house, and they didn't hang up their stuff, and they just threw it on the ground, and they just went in the basement and just started watching TV. They didn't want to stick around. They didn't know what was going to happen. And I think we've all done stuff like that. You don't want to stick around. And these disciples were like that. Except it was worse, right? Because their master, their leader, who they think is the Messiah, he's getting arrested and he's getting walked away by this big crowd. What do? They don't stick around. They run for the hills. They're out of there. Every single one of them. So what do we learn from this? What do we learn from Jesus being betrayed, arrested, and abandoned? Well, for one, I think we see what are we like? What's human nature? If you're honest, have you betrayed those close to you? Have you betrayed God? Have you been deceptive? We see Judas here. He's very deceptive, calling him rabbi, kissing him. Do we go along with the crowd? There's this whole crowd coming to arrest Jesus. Are we rash and do things before we think, impulsive, like we see Peter here? When there's trouble, we know the right thing to do. Do we abandon? Do we flee? I think if we're honest, we do a lot of these things, if not all of them. But what do we see from Jesus? What's his reaction to all of this? He appears calm. He doesn't flee. He doesn't betray. He doesn't abandon. He's faithful. He's loving. He's gracious. He tells the truth. He's loyal. Let us be in wonder at Jesus' actions and words at this time. This intense, you think you've had intense times? Can you imagine? He knows in a few hours he's going to his death. He's going to take the wrath of God for the sins of all mankind. Whoever's going to come to believe in him, he's going to suffer. And yet in this, he's trying to teach his disciples. He's loving. He's loyal. And we should learn from him. How he goes to the Lord in prayer and he comes out, yes, I'm going to follow the Lord. He doesn't panic. We should learn from him and follow God even when things are difficult. But I think we also must recognize he did here what we could never do. I know none of us could do this. Knowing what's about to come and considering all the power and might he has, and he says he could have called the 12 legions of angels to come rescue him. We know what one angel can do. But he humbles himself and he goes away like a lamb to the slaughter. Let us marvel at the love and grace of Jesus. Let us marvel at the plan of Scripture. God has this amazing plan. He's laid it out from Genesis to Revelation. That God has sent his one and only Son into the world. He's lived a perfect life. He taught the truth. He washes his disciples' feet. And yet, through all this, he's God, he's man, and yet he gives himself up, he humbles himself, gets pierced in his hands and feet, gets killed on a cross, gets buried in the tomb, rises from the dead on the third day, goes to be with the Father, sends his Spirit to be with us, and he says he's coming back again. This is the whole Scriptures. And if all this comes true, and he said it, if he says he's coming back again, I believe that to be true. Do we believe the Scriptures? He says that anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's for us. If we're still alive, we still have breath in our lungs. Call out to this loving, merciful, humble God. Last thoughts here. Have you been betrayed? Maybe unjustly arrested or abandoned? How did you respond? How did Jesus respond? He showed love, mercy, perseverance, and faithfulness to save himself a people and bring glory to God. Finally, it's one thing to compare ourselves to Christ. It's usually not accurate. How about we compare ourselves to the disciples in this passage? Have you been like Judas or been like Peter? Have you betrayed others? Have you betrayed Christ? Have you abandoned others when they really needed you? Well, you could be like Judas and give up. Or we look to Peter. Peter did the same. He abandoned Christ here. We're going to see in a few hours he's going to deny he even knows Christ. But he accepted Christ's mercy on him. Christ restores him. Christ loves him. Christ forgives him. Christ uses him for his honor and his glory. You too can be forgiven by Christ. You too can be restored by Christ. Don't give up. Don't lose heart. We serve a loving, powerful, humble God who loves to use those who are weak, are sick, who loves to use those who have betrayed others, who have abandoned others. He's coming at you. He loves you. Submit to him. Love him. Be ready when he returns. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your mercy on us. Thank you for your humility that you are willing to be betrayed. You submitted to being arrested by your puny creation. You went through it alone so that we could be saved, so that we could be with you forever. Lord, we look forward to that day. May we serve you humbly, however many more days you give us. Amen.